This is March 24th, 2017, and this is collective bargaining at the University of West Florida. And why don't we go around the room and introduce ourselves?
I'm Dale Lucas. I'm the CFO of the foundation.
Mike Mattimore.
Anita Schoenberger.
Blake Thompson.
Jason Miller. I work at Allen Orton & Wilder.
Brian Levine.
John Fink.
Daniel Pace.
We have some response proposals.
Okay.
I don't know. It was a little ambiguous last time when we left off. But if you'd like for us to talk about some of those things that you guys put forward, or if you'd like to put things forward.
That would be great. That would be great. Do you have an 11 for us?
Yeah.
Okay, because we have an 11 too. So okay. What we'll do is we'll cross 11s. We'll give you our 11.
Don't cross the streams, right?
Yeah. You give us your 11, we'll give you our 11. And you can give us your 11 and talk about it.
Maybe just the two components, before we get into the SBE details, maybe okay. Just those two other components about the teaching and one of the things, since we have new people here as well, I thought it might be able, just for a moment, I think it's bargaining is at its most beneficial when we can clearly define the problem first and then bargain from there, right? Have a clear understanding of the bargain. We saw that, I think, very acutely last time when we were talking about the consensual relationship language, right?
Okay.
Once we define, so the problem is the conflict of interest, right? Mm-hmm. Not the, that helped us move very quickly towards it.
Okay.
So in the part where you guys asked for a language change saying additional teaching materials are required rather than recommended. You know, we put some thought into that, and we said, well, what's really the problem here, right? What's the problem that's being addressed? And the problem, in our mind, potentially, at least from what we're interpreting, we're not saying it's necessarily a problem, but what we're interpreting that proposal was identifying as the problem, is that our standard university form is insufficient in providing a full enough representation of teaching evaluation.
Mm.
Right, and so by saying these other things are required, it's implicitly saying the standard form that everyone's required to use is insufficient somehow in providing a sufficient evaluation or materials to evaluate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the problem for us with declaring additional materials as required without clarity about what is required is going to cause problems, right? If you say something, well, it's required to attach additional things, and people say, well, what's required? So, well, it doesn't say, it just says additional things, right? You know,
okay.
So, and then to articulate all of that material in the context of a contract is not going to work. Right? It's just too much stuff. So our thinking, what we're proposing, is to leave status quo language here right now, and it takes a step back and to go back and look at the in a more shared governance way, that standard university form, right? Because if that's the problem, that's where we should look first.
Well, I think the problem, and I might, anybody on our team thinks I'm not appreciating what our intent was, is that what we have in the contract narrative is written comments from students, which is mandatory. I mean, the student evaluation is mandatory in all of this. And then we have faculty are encouraged to submit other examples of their the
teaching excellence.
Or their work generally, like whatever it might be.
Yeah.
The expectation is that someone does that. If someone, we don't want to simply consider the student evaluations and look only to that as something that the contract requires. We actually want someone to be able to say, here's additional evidence to be considered in the context of where my evaluation should be. And when we say it's encouraged, it's really not true. It's not accurate, because it's our expectation that they do it, not that it's...
I don't agree with that assessment.
Okay.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but go ahead, I'm not going to interrupt you.
No, no, that's okay. I mean, that's. I think that's all really I had to say.
Okay. Yeah. The reason is, I mean, this is a conversation I think that's taking place partly across the university as well. But it's the way that the structure is written now is that we have a required standard university form, and the contract says that explicitly, right? You know, it says that you have to use the standard university form.
Okay.
Right? And then, if a faculty member wants to include additional material, they're encouraged to do that. They can, but it's at that faculty member's discretion. They cannot be punished for not including additional materials. And the contract also says that any materials they include have to be considered. But there's no punitive expectation that if they don't include extra materials, that standard university's form is somehow insufficient. The additional wrinkle to this is, right now, Faculty Senate is revising that, to my understanding, is revising that standard university form. That's something that's moving forward. Raid's on Senate. You could talk about that.
Very quickly, it seems there was a Senate subcommittee in 2013 that took the existing form, five members, I think, and they went through it and they revised it. It received approval all following stages, even from administration. And I don't know why it was sitting there. And it was brought to us in this student assessment committee, whatever it's called, with Michael White, just a few days ago. And I said, well, maybe it's time to implement it. And I asked Daniel, and it will be brought up again just because it's been 3-4 years now, just sitting there for some reason. It was not used. It will be brought up one more time, just for informative reasons, to the Senate. But we have a form that is a little bit different, that looks deeper into students' background. It was not there before. And I don't know if that takes care of...
Well, obviously did that... do you know anything about the standard?
No, but I was also going to point out that we have just now gone to fully online assessments that's required from evaluations, so the whole game is changing, you know, as we speak, because you might have an in-person get 3 or 4 responses. Now we're getting response rates in the 85, 90, I mean, students are actually filling them out, and so that form may be performing better simply by the participation by the students.
We don't have a problem with the student evaluation as a piece of all this. And, but if you read the section talks about the student evaluation, it talks about classroom observation, and then it like lets everything else just be something that seems to be like some discretionary thing that someone can put a cherry on top of their evaluation materials that are considered. And we think that but in fact, we want evaluators to look at these kinds of things of teacher quality.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think, Mike, that you have as much knowledge as me in terms of what's happening within the department. And I really think, even though it is as it is, people take it extremely seriously, department by department, how this is done.
Okay.
So in my department, mathematics and statistics, for example, we always encourage by the chair to put as much material as deeply as possible if we want to. And recently, the faculty met and they voted on and approved it. They actually would have. They wanted it. They would have people observing them in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And it's not mandated, but the faculty want it in general, and it could be different from discipline to discipline.
Right.
Based on what we have now. It's not lacking, it's simply allowing departments to do what they believe is best for their disciplines. And I think it's not in any way avoiding to give detailed information. Once administrators in the department request it, faculty meet as a department, they agree to things. It can all happen without being mandated.
The problem, just from a language point of view, is that we just by changing one word from encouraged to required is not going to solve. It's not all of a sudden going to make the teaching evaluation process effective and fruitful, right? was the problem with changing to required is all the material that's written after that was designed as just a handful of examples of material that you might use, right? It's not intended to be an exhaustive list or an exclusive list, right? If you just now, if you say it's required, but you don't, or we don't have a deep articulation about what's required, that's going to create problems at the tip of the spear, because it could lead to a situation where a faculty member says, okay, well, I'm attaching material X to this as additional supplementary material, and a reviewer can say, well, wait a minute, this says this is required, but I don't believe this is sufficiently required material that you've attached. You know, I want this other material.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like you have a problem with the examples following following words like that, but I think it's pretty well identified as the indicators identified in the tenure and promotion guidelines. I mean, it doesn't mean anything in the world. It means the indicators of teaching quality, right, that are reflected in the tenure and promotion guidelines.
But it also doesn't provide like the number or amount, or there's no guidance there. This language was written in the context of non-required material, right? So all we're saying is that we think it would be beneficial to take a step back in this, for now, to have this as status quo, to bring in a broader constituency of conversation about the teaching evaluation process at the university, especially in light of the situations that Daniel is articulating about as we're changing through the process of online requirements, and as things are moving through the Faculty Senate, changing the standard university form.
Okay, Jonathan, you said you had a second thing, yeah, if you wanted to.
The second component you mentioned also was about the 2-week window for coming into a classroom.
Okay.
We went through other contracts to see what other language, how other universities have addressed that. Mm-hmm. First of all, clearly, like, our language is the Blue Book language. Like, it showed up verbatim in a couple other contracts, but other additional universities have made changes to it, right? So it's, you know, this is the oldest language, and other universities have negotiated from this starting point.
Okay.
Changes. So, and what I found persuasive in the other contracts is some of them do have language about when that 2-week window can be broken, right? But it is specifically in the context of investigation, right? In the example you gave last time, you said, you know, they were worried someone wasn't showing up to class or was drunk in class or some situation like that. That was in the context of investigation, right? And so in the language of the other contracts, what I thought was the most effective language was ones where it narrowly defines that as in the context of an investigation. And it was almost like a warrant situation. Like, they have to get approval from the provost or representative first before
you're proposing language.
I'm not proposing, it's still the conversation. Oh. I'm just reporting back from what I read.
Okay.
We have no new language on that.
Okay.
And that there would also be questions, again, I'm also not a lawyer, there would be questions about how Weingartner rights trigger at that point. You know, I'm not prepared to speak about that today, but those sort of questions as well, but that seemed the most persuasive type of situation. What we don't want to do is to say there's a 2-week requirement for entering into a space, right? And then to undercut that in the next sentence and just say, but that's optional, right? Like, we don't want to have a right in the contract and then
undermine that. Why don't we do this? Maybe the best thing to do is let us see your 11.
Yeah.
Let us take a caucus and then we'll come back. And
well, why don't we trade? We'll review.
Well, see, maybe I should see your 11, because maybe your 11 is just going to confuse things, you know?
Yeah.
Because this is a counter to what we gave you last time.
Okay.
So rather than, I mean, we may, based on what you give us, we may change our.
Well, we could do the same thing. How about this for you? Do you promise to show us what you guys are going to propose anyway?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
I didn't
win
one.
Oh.
We'll just take this. We'll be right back.